You are listening to Right Back At Ya, the 2000s pop music podcast, where we have fun taking pop music seriously, hosted by the boy. He is all that glitters. He's a lover boy, and he did not mean to turn you on. David Lim and me, the singing sensation, the Billy Franks of Romford, Joel Babington. Hello, David. How are you doing?
Hey, Joel, look, that is great. I actually think Billy Franks is a great...
Quite an Essex-sounding name.
It really is, yeah. I can see that in Romford, neon signs. Yeah. Maybe like a little coconut palm tree emoji in the logo, maybe?
Yeah, kind of a runner-up contestant of the X Factor from 10 years ago is now running a bar nightclub in Romford's, and they still do singing PAs there.
Sounds like a great business deal. Yeah.
Billy Franks.
This is iconic and such a long time coming for us.
Such a long time coming.
You know, we do actually get in our comments, when are you doing Mariah? Even this week in my DM, someone said to me, is like, when are you doing Mariah? And I felt like she's not someone that we've really teased or hinted that, yes, we'll do, but she's a regular name that comes up, right?
Oh, she's evergreen. She is evergreen. And this in particular, I feel like, is something we've always bonded on, especially when it comes to this artiste.
Yeah. And do you know what? Like, I grew up with Mariah's music. My dad is, I still, you know, have to give him credit because he is the man that got me into pop music. And one of the big artists of my childhood, thanks to him, was Mariah Carey. You know, Vision of Love was always played at home. I grew up listening to Hero, Emotions, like those old school 90s Mariah hits were just staples at home. And what about you? Like, because I felt like when we first lived together, maybe you were just finding your way into the lambdom.
Now, David, I got to tell you, really, if you think about it, you've had such an impact in my life in many ways. If could you imagine if in day one, when we first met each other, if you'd told me that if we were doing a podcast together, I'd be like, yeah, no way. But if you told me we were going to do something focused on Sophia Lis-Bextor and then Mariah Carey, I wouldn't believe you because, yes, I've always had huge respect for both these women, but they've not been, and Kylie Minogue, so that's three people. There are three artists that I've always had huge respect for, but they've not been on my rotation ever. You know, love them when they've come on a night out at Billy Frank's in Romford. But aside from this, what we're talking about, I didn't really... Obviously, I knew everything from Mariah because I've not been living under a rock, but I've not known the deep cuts, I've not been into it. And I think my way in with her, obviously, all her hits we've always known, but I actually think... It was 2005 onwards, because that's when I was like a teenager that was really getting into music. And that was kind of the first big in-your-face Mariah of our generation, in a way. For you growing up in Malaysia, all those like early hits must have just been so prominent,
oh
right?
Oh my God. Us Asians love a good pop ballad. Celine, Mariah, Whitney. You know, like I started paying attention to music in about... I don't know, 96 to 98 when we first got cable TV. So getting MTV for the first time, getting VH1, the VH1 Divas Live concert special that Mariah was in with Aretha, Shania, Celine, Gloria Estefan, Carole King. Like that is very, very seminal to my childhood, like iconic.
Wow. I think actually, if you look at it, I bet there's a huge crossover between Malaysia and Essex in terms of like they both love those big divas. Like the Huns would be like, oh my God, they just kind of love these big power
we love
songs.
Joel Mira in Malaysia. I've seen her CDs there, her first album for sure.
So there you go. Who would have thought it, eh?
Romford's finest. Yeah,
it's the cultural crossover no one saw coming.
So, Joel, look, it makes me really happy that we're doing this episode. And actually, I feel like this was kind of by your request that we brought this forward. I don't know what you consider yourself or how you identify. Are you a lamb in training? Are you an apprentice lamb?
I am a lamb in training. You know.
Whereas I've earned my lambyship.
You're like my line manager of the lambdom.
Get that report in every Friday. Which deep cut have you learned this week?
What we're talking about today, I've always had, I'm someone that loves a pop star on film. So I've always had fascination with this project. But other than the hits, this has kind of always been my point of reference. And then living with you kind of spurred me on in a way. Then we, as everyone knows, went to go and see Mariah. I'm sure we'll talk about that later in the episode. Then obviously the book happened.
Oh yeah, the book? Yeah, that's a recent thing.
Devoured that.
I think the book came in the right time for you because you'd already had, you know, the 2019 deeper immersion and seeing Mariah. So when the book came, you were like, oh, I'm ready.
I'm ready. I'm ready to read this. Get it in me straight away. I've now got the audiobook, so I'm reliving it again.
Oh, yeah, so you've actually had actual Mariah in your ears reading it.
I strongly recommend you get that in your ears as soon as possible because she tells her story with such passion and, you know, there's clips and bits of her singing along the way and it is an that is how an audiobook experience should be. And David, as a lamb in training, I have also purchased some essential purchases. I've got the Glitter DVD here with me today. Freshly played today to give myself a little catch up. I also have on vinyl, well, Alex has Caution, but I can claim that sometimes. I also have the Number Ones to Infinity vinyl. And I have the Rainbow vinyl. Colour variant, which I also got you a copy of.
Yes, I can't remember which colour vinyl I have, but I think it's yellow.
I think mine's yellow as well.
Yeah.
And then I have all the others on my wish list. So, you know, anyone out there.
Really, it is on the wish list. I've got Charm Bracelet on vinyl now. And I think, do you know what, just to be, and also Emancipation of Mimi, but also like, just to be different, I think I want to get Memoirs of an Imperfect Angel next. Just because I'm like, fan favorite albums need to be front of the queue, right?
While we're talking about vinyl, David, Mariah Carey, you please need to do a reissue of this album that we've not even started getting into yet, but we are going to get into it. So, David, what I'm saying is maybe by the time this episode is edited and released, Mariah will have announced a 20th anniversary vinyl. Come on, MC, do it for the JB.
We would love to see Glitter on vinyl. Honestly, it is so expensive on eBay.
God.
I saw one person selling it on eBay and I couldn't believe it was even pressed on vinyl.
If you got it for £200, you've got it as a bargain because it goes for a lot more than that.
All the kind of MC30 stuff we saw last year, all these EPs and like remixes coming out on streaming, there was stuff that even me, as someone who claims to have earned his Lammyship, there was stuff I'm like, I did not know this existed. So thank you, MC. Speaking of thank yous, we do want to say thank you to, do you love this segue? Oh my God, like Kat Dealey. Watch out. Such a natural host. Speaking of thank yous, we do want to say thank you to everyone who's left us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts because that really helps with the visibility and I guess any platform you get your podcast on, if you can leave a lovely rating and review, that helps. I do want to read this one by Johnny93, B-list at Capital, A-list in my heart, from Dead Uncanny, Kimberly Walsh Impressions, to detailed analysis of Scottish singles chart positions. These two are experts on all things noughties pop. The sonic equivalent of jeans and a nice top. The latter probably embellished with a few lovely sparkly bits.
Sparkly bits.
You really nailed us there. You got us, Johnny. I mean, that is on brand.
Oh, Johnny, that was absolutely fantastic. That was a brilliant review. Thank you so much.
That's totally what I'd wear to Billy Frank's at Romford.
Free drinks for anyone in jeans and a nice chop. Thank you so much. That is a brilliant review. I think that is a quote we need to put on the poster or whatever. If you are enjoying what we're doing, please do leave us a lovely 5-star review. Share it on socials. Tag us at Right Back Pod. Tell a friend. Tell your mum. Tell your mum's friend. She'd love it.
So, Joel, we are, of course, celebrating the woman who needs no introduction. We are, of course, talking about the elusive Shantouz. Songwriter, producer, actress, director, Queen of Christmas, Queen of Moments, and queen of not knowing her. The best-selling recording artist of all time, Mariah Carey.
Wow. And in honor of that, I'm having a festive splash. So cheers,
Cheers, a festive splash of wine. She ties with Barbara Streisand as the best-selling female artist of all time in the US. Mariah has sold over 200 million records worldwide. She has released 15 studio albums. Six of them were number one on the Billboard chart. Two of them certified diamond sales. Five Grammy Awards. 15 Billboard Music Awards. 10 American Music Awards. And she was, in recent years, inducted into the Songwriters Hall of Fame at last. We are so excited to get into this era of Mariah because we are a noughties pop music podcast, right? So it makes sense for us to start.
What a better place to start than Glitter. And also, I feel that this is the perfect era for Right Back At You to cover because we are going to put some deserved positive light on this incredible era. Thanks to the incredible Lamely, we have had Justice for Glitter and we are here to celebrate that today.
It was the redemption moment that I didn't see coming. You know, that was such a bleak era for us. Just the way press treated celebrities and just what Mariah had to endure.
Absolutely disgusting.
Do you think there's some people out there, like people about our age that maybe don't know about this?
Oh, absolutely.
Like my flatmate had no idea and he was like, I didn't even know Mariah made a film.
I think anyone that knows me will know about it just because there's been a quiet moment and I've given them basically a version of this whole episode to them in 30 seconds. But I think outside of that, a lot of people are. It is an era that happened and then got swept under the rug, you know? And it wasn't even until recent years, until Justice for Glitter, that even Mariah would speak about it.
Shall we get into Glitter, this era?
I also think a big reason why she didn't talk about it for so long is this era is something that was so personal to Mariah Carey. She started work on this project in 1997, David, when the original script was still called All That Glitters. And it was a very gritty project. It was very different to what we ultimately see. And David, did you know that the song Heartbreaker was written with the intention of being part of All That Glitters?
I didn't know at the time, but because Glitter got delayed, they just went, fuck it, this is a hit, let's go.
As this is our passion project, All That Glitters was Mariah Carey's passion project. She was pushing for it since 1997, and it kept getting pushed back and delayed with other priorities coming in. You know, the Rainbow album happened, that was a huge tour. All amongst all of this, she is trying to get out of her deal with Sony. She wants to be free. She wants to be an artist in control of her career. So she is working and begging and pleading to get out of Sony. And she finally comes to an arrangement or an agreement where they say, okay, you can leave us, but you have to give us four more albums, David. Imagine being so in demand that, like, we're going to let you go, but you have to give us four more contractually obliged albums. And they ended up becoming number ones, her first greatest hits, Rainbow. Then we got The Greatest Hits, and we also had a remix album.
The Greatest Hits and the remix album came out after she had left, and also she had no involvement, no input in that, but still was like very present in my mind when it was released. I was like, oh yeah, okay, gotta have it, because you know what, they are crowd pleaser compilations, weren't they? So
oh yeah, and especially like the number ones was a little bit before my time, so I remember kind of being a big hit with like the Hunza generation above us. Like, I think with like Elise,
your older sisters,
and Faye,
maybe?
My older sisters, yeah, their friends, it would have been a big deal.
The big statement single attached to that was the duet with Whitney Houston, When You Believe. So that was obviously a big single.
Had to have it.
Had to have it.
As you were saying, she wasn't even with Sony anymore when they released The Greatest Hits. And it does feel, though, prominent. I do feel like I always remember seeing that on the shelves, and it felt like, in a way, the definitive greatest hits at that time.
Yeah, yeah.
And then sure. I actually believe she did have involvement in the remix album, and Loverboy is on that. So, David, let's talk about this new record deal. Mariah Carey signed a $100 million five-album deal with Virgin Records. I believe it was record breaking at the time. There hadn't been a bigger value monetary record deal at the time, and everyone was talking about it, and it was amazing. And what a way to, like, say, you know, F you, Tommy, I'm off, I'm doing my thing.
She's had a number one every year. Yeah, I can see why Virgin's like, we need to have her. This was the era where just big ass record deals were just handed out to the likes of Michael Jackson and Janet Jackson. Like, it was just an insane time in the music industry, right? But what was funny is that I was watching all these interviews with Mariah, and she would say, like, I'm good with my ABCs, but I'm not so good with my 1-2-3s. I leave that to my accountant. Like, she refused to confirm or deny how much it was. Actually, what really sent chills down my spine was she said, yeah, that's all great, but I feel like the rug could be pulled from under me at any time. And it's that kind of like, I wonder what it was like as someone who realized how much money was riding on this new deal, that it maybe drove her to work even harder and maybe kind of fuels your insecurity. You're like, okay, this has to work.
There's so much pressure on that. They want to make that money back and then some. They're expecting huge number ones out the bat. And looking now in history, it's like, that's a ridiculous amount of money.
Yeah, and also a lot of pressure to put on an artist that really has had so many years of hits already, right? It's natural for any artist with a long career to have a bit of a career lull. We hadn't seen that with Mariah yet, and then Virgin comes in at this point. If someone's been riding so high, you know, the public could turn and just go, okay, we've had enough, we've heard this.
They put so much and too much expectations on a soundtrack album.
Oh yeah, that's the thing as well.
Soundtrack
yeah.
albums, you know, this soundtrack did do really well.
And it's a concept album. Look, we love it, we'll celebrate it, but yeah, it was different from what Mariah's ever done.
So, summer 2001, her first single off this deal, it's the first single off the Glitter soundtrack, Lover Boy. Now, David, to me, this is what a way to kick off this album and this era.
This, to me, was maybe a little out there for me as a teenager, as a kid. I didn't necessarily get the kind of hip hop and kind of 80s funk references she was playing with. Whereas today, I look at it, I was like, wow, it's really clever and really innovative. But me as a kid watching video hits, I was like, I don't think I really get this.
So I didn't know if it at the time. My way is going in later. As someone that loves films, I love pop stars on film.
But now I like embrace Loverboy. I have this on vinyl and I'm so proudly displaying it.
You need to bring it over so we can play it. I love the vinyl of Mariah.
Okay, runs. Yes.
Thank you. Thank you. Every Tuesdays at Billy Frank's. So my favorite of Mariah is Heartbreaker, is Fantasy. So from that being the prominent ones I know, and then years later seeing this, I'm like, oh yeah, this is fucking great. She does the music video with David LaChapelle, and that's so cool, and his work is amazing. Basically, David, I'm a huge fan of Grease 2, right?
Oh yes.
I always watched that as a kid. I had no access to the internet. I didn't know that the rest of the world deemed that as a flop or a quote-unquote bad film. I just loved it and thought and still think it's one of the best things I've ever seen. Yes, I had the internet by the time I was seeing the Glitter stuff, and I knew it was dubbed as bad, but I'm also someone that doesn't give a fuck what everyone else is saying. So I still got to see it with somewhat fresh eyes and just take it in. Fresh eyes, but also with hindsight. So I wasn't ever caught up in the what's Mariah doing? And I think it's so unfair that she was treated as someone that I guess it was so perceived in a certain way of. She was still perceived as, you know, this girl in dresses and gowns and sings these big ballads.
Yeah.
That it was such a shock, as Lisa Scott Lee would say.
And let me tell you, Papa Lim, in the living room, when he walked in on me watching this Loverboy video, he did not approve. He was rebuking
What
me.
Is this filth you're watching, David Lim? Get it up.
He was like, oh, Mariah's lost her way.
Your brother Sean is in the next room. He could see this. Get it off. We are not going on a family trip to the cinema to see this mutt. But, you know, it's like...
Bandanas around the titties. That was a little too much for my Christian dad.
What David's missing out is that David's dad actually walked in on David with the bandana around the top trying to recreate the video.
All true. Very true.
We've all got to be creative with the bandana, you know. That's a bit of marketing merch they missed out on. They should have done some bandanas with the promo copies, or like at Target or Walmart, get a copy, get a bandana. But I think it's really unfair that she was seen in that way, because it's if it was a new artist or someone we'd had no preconceptions of, it's not really shocking.
This is not shocking, but I think Mariah, we do hold her to a different standard.
If I looked like that, that's all I would wear. I'd be down to the co-op in my bandana titty top and my little short shorts. You wouldn't get me out of it. They'd say, Joel, you need to put that in the wash. I'm like, I look too good to put this in the wash.
I've got other bandanas waiting in a closet. Yeah. It's not a problem.
You just open the wardrobe. It's just a row of bandanas and a row of denim shorts. Nothing else. I'm like, I've got my look and it works. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it.
This is so, like, if you love David LaChapelle's work, you're going to really enjoy this video. It's like highly saturated. All the colors pop. Mariah's skin is glistening. That tan just is so vivid and it's just beautiful. I would just love a photo book or a chapter. Mariah should do a photo book if she hasn't already. And I want a chapter dedicated to this video because the pictures are just stunning.
Yeah, I wonder if David LaChapelle's ever released any coffee table books. He must have. I bet they're expensive.
He must have. And I'm sure there's one or two Mariah pictures in there, but I want a whole chapter. All the offcuts, everything.
So we can't talk about this song without talking about the quote-unquote controversy of it all. This song was like finished in the year 2000, I believe. And it was a completely different song, really, David, wasn't it?
Yeah, it had a different sample to it. And, you know, the thing about Mariah is she is such a student of hip-hop, pop culture. She just pulls these references. Like, you listen to her catalogue, there's always, like, really clever uses of samples and, like, covers and, like, interpolations here and there. So she picked out Yellow Magic Orchestra's Firecracker as the original sample for Loverboy. You know, things were going on behind the scenes at Sony. As we all said, she'd already separated from her husband, who's head of the label, Tommy Mottola. Tommy stole the idea of sampling this song and gave it to one of his new artists on the label at the time, which is Jennifer Lopez. That sample went into J-Lo's album track at the time. It wasn't a single yet. The song called Unreal. Mariah finds out about it. That album actually comes out a month before Loverboy / The Glitter Project. So she was like, oh no, I can't let everyone think that I'm using the same sample after her. So she had to do a real 180 and find another track. And she ended up settling on Cameo's 80s funk hit, Candy. Now I'm going to ask you, JB, because, you know, we had the Rarities project that Mariah put out last year. And then this is the first time the world actually heard the original Firecracker version of Loverboy. Which do you prefer?
It's great. But I actually think the Cameo version is a million times better.
Same. I also like have to take into consideration that I've listened to the final single version of Loverboy for 20 years. I'm used to that mood and that tempo and that vibe that suddenly you got something a little bit jumpier.
Yeah, and your ears, it takes a long time for your ears and mind to process. And not only, it's not like she just got a new sample and copy and paste. She added new vocals and new ad-libs to it. And you know when you're leveling up?
Yeah.
And then it's like, fuck it. Like, let's get, like, the remix going, verses on it, like, Debrat's verse references what's going on.
I mean, let us know in our comments. Let us know in our DMs and stuff if you prefer the Firecracker version. We don't have anything against it because that was the original vision by the MC.
No, and I feel blessed to have had an official release of it, you know?
She went so far as last year with a Rarities release that she even put out a Japan-only double A-side cassette single of Here We Go Again and this firecracker version of Lover Boy. So now it's actually been formally released as a single as well.
So if anyone's got that sitting at home and you're going to just throw it away, send it to the right back.
Oh my God, can you imagine? Oh, that is the rarities of rarities.
That is the rarities. So what's so interesting, David, is that Mariah, she was promo heavy with this and the whole era, but she didn't perform the song live until the end of the year, one off, and then she doesn't perform it until years later on her 2016 and 2019 tours as part of medleys.
It's so wild, isn't it? As the lead singer of this era, we were very, very starved of live performances. Mariah needs an anti-tour. Yeah. Then I feel like Loverboy, she would maybe do there, even though it's a single and it's a hit. But
Glitter would have to get a lot of love on a Mariah anti-tour.
The Lamely tour, yes.
Yeah, intimate with the lambs.
Can you imagine the zones with ticketing? Right, you have the Billy Frank's zone, that's like premium platinum, and then you've got the Bianca zone. You could be so creative with that.
That'd be funny though. The Bianca zone should be like the back row. The like £25, you're actually in the toilets and can't see the stage. David, this was the best-selling single of the year in America, right? It was a number 2 hit on the Billboard 200, but yet they had an issue because it wasn't a number 1. Imagine that. I would be happy.
I don't think enough people realize that it was a number 2 hit. It wasn't like it didn't crack the top 40. Bitch, it was number 2. And do you know what it was behind? Bootalicious by Destiny's Child. So
madness.
And it was number 1 on Billboard's Hot Single Sales chart. So according to sales, Loverboy was number 1 and it stayed on top for 4 weeks. The reason and the big issue that it didn't hit number 1 on the main charts is because radio wasn't on board. It was Loverboy didn't get enough airplay support. So that was the thing that was holding it back.
And we know who got involved in that, don't we?
Ooh. Read Mariah's book for more info.
Rhymes with shummy. ringing up the stations. You can't play Mariah. You can't play J-Lo. Where was he when, you know...
Why
he
did
was
you become
man...
Rupert Murdoch in that moment? It sounded a bit Aussie.
Where was Tommy Mottola's attitude when Jessica was releasing her material? Because her Columbia albums are all under the guise of Tommy Mottola. Where's he doing?
Where was that energy?
Where's that energy then, you know?
Why weren't you picking up the phone?
Let's just do it for people, not against people, Tommy. Hey, how about a little bit of positivity in your life? All right, darling? Okay, thank you. Goodbye. So it was a number 1 hit in Croatia and Japan, David. Can you believe it?
Yes, Japan.
So it was number 7 in Australia. Thank you, David. Number 4 on the Australian Urban Aria charts. I think that's the first time ever reading that. Number 3 in Canada, 28 on the Europe Eurochart Hot 100. How did it do in the UK, David? I've got you asking. Number 12 here in the UK. Come on, Joel, you should have done something.
I love that you're dragging yourself for the UK charts. That's never happened before.
I just didn't know at the time. I mean, oh my God, 10-year-old JB, if he'd got into it, if he was on the cusp at the time, I was going up to street lamps for Will Young when he was on Pop Idol. I was putting vote for Will and then I would stick it up with chewing gum on the street lamppost.
JB!
That's like the Romford boy there.
I did not know you were such a Will Young stan. But
Pop Idol, I was just like into it.
But you know what? Speaking of the UK charts, it was a really weird, dark place at this time on there. You know, Mariah debuted at number 12 with Lover Boy, but 11 places above it, Robbie Williams, D12... U2, Wheatus, Roger Sanchez. It was just very masculine, but also like all the wrong kinds of masculine. Like,
horrible. It was a scary time. But this is the stuff that, like, it was a scary time to be a closeted young boy at school, you know?
Yeah. You block it out. And also some of us, as a coping mechanism, would listen to Matchbox 20 and tell people we like it.
I had Rob Thomas's solo album.
Wow. Edge. I even went as far as like telling people I like The Darkness, which I kind of liked the first album.
Oh, yeah,
it was a bit camp.
Cool.
It was a bit camp.
It was camp. But we would cling on to the kitsch like the darkness where we could, because we've got, what's the other alternative? Wheatus? And even they were kind of better than the other stuff you listened to. Teenage Dirtbag was kind of fun.
And it was Girls Aloud approved.
It was Girls Aloud approved, but everything else was like scary and not in a fun way. Scary and not Scary Spice. Also around the time of summer this year, David, Mariah was set to headline MTV's 20th anniversary celebrations, which feels wild because we've just had the 40th anniversary of MTV. It was such a big deal on social media. Obviously, around this time, she also appeared on TRL more than once to promote this song.
That was the place to do it. That was the place to be.
That was the place to do it. There is obviously one always referenced appearance. The people at Virgin allegedly are doing panic stations because it's gone to number two. Mariah's like, number two, that's fantastic.
I don't even think she had time to think about that. Like, her schedule was so crazy at this particular time.
So she's got the pressure on her. And at the time, it's dubbed as Mariah's surprise appearance. She's gone on record to say, look, even Mariah Carey can't just rock up at TRL. People did know. Maybe it didn't get passed down to Carson Daly, the
presenter. Maybe they wanted to surprise him.
Maybe they wanted to surprise him, but producers certainly.
You as a host should be prepared for any scenarios, especially when you're hosting a live show, right? And he just didn't have the right attitude of fun and frivolity. You are not catching the spirit of what needs to happen in that moment.
She shows up at TRL with an ice cream cart for the fans in the TRL audience in the summer. Fantastic. That's genius. She has like a big top on, which is glitter branded. And then to reveal, she takes it off and she has more of like an 80s tight, small little number to like show. She's just doing a bit of a costume
reveal.
It's just
a bit of fun.
Which we love. It's just a bit of fun. And if someone like Jerry or even Mariah rocked up at SMTV of that, they'd love it. It would have gone down so well. I think that as a concept sounds like genius.
We love a stunt.
He then says Mariah's stripping here on TRL. And there wasn't, you know, there was no yes and. Rule 101 of improv, yes and. Let's, like, build it up, not shut it down.
Maybe Mariah's humour at that moment was just, it read as a little bit wild and erratic, because I think she's the type of person that has, like, a million thoughts a minute, and we all know people like that. But sometimes when you've got a tiny moment to shine on TV, that can be very jarring when you're not on point and on message.
Yeah. And I mean, Mariah even says in her book, like, it was a fun little stunt. And as it was happening, she just knew and felt it wasn't landing the way it was meant to.
Yes, she was tired. She was exhausted. And maybe her bants wasn't quite landing. There were other incidences connected to this with voice messages to fans and things like that kind of got people a little bit worried. But in the grand scheme of things, it was a flash in a pan.
A flash in a pan, and also very ahead of its time, you know? That kind of stuff. It was an Insta story or a Twitter audio post now. You know, she's just trying to talk to the fans.
She was just trying to connect with the fans.
The woman is tired and overworked.
Yeah. Everything I'm seeing of, like, her kind of quote-unquote erratic behavior in this era, I'm like, that is clearly signs of a person that's exhausted. We just all need a bit of perspective, and we're going to speak some positivity into it, because she did have other fun promo moments, right, around Loverboy, including one with our own Anton Deck and Emma Bunton.
Emma Bunton, yes.
I was so shocked to find this clip. So I think around this Loverboy era, she appeared on CD UK. And she came into studio. It was a very short segment, so I can't believe they even got her in person on the couch. It was like less than 4 minutes.
She's so funny. She's like, you guys wake up this early every day. Me first day in a job.
So she was saying, like, how literally the night before they threw a surprise party for her fans in Hackney, and she was there with them. And I was like, oh my God, anyone that was there, London Lambs, UK Lambs, if you were there, please let us know if you were there for the surprise party in Hackney.
And imagine getting to party with Mariah in Hackney.
I know. That would be the dream. So she also talked about going to Brick Lane for bagels, and they asked, oh, you know, how does New York bagels compare to London bagels? But, you know, she was like, I was so hungry, I just would eat anything.
Well, in New York, we toast bagels in America, but it was nice. It was good.
We used to live not far from Brick Lane. It was like on our bus route, wasn't it? We've been to the bagel place in Brick Lane where Mariah was. Yeah.
And it's just so good. It's just so, like, you can't beat it. You cannot beat it. They're just perfect to what they do. God, imagine partying with Mariah in Hackney and going for a Brick Lane bagel.
Oh, insane. Insane.
And then telling Emma Bunton about it the next day.
Oh my God, yeah.
So David, shall we get into finally what we're all here for today, the Glitter soundtrack.
Released on September 11, 2001.
So where do we begin with this incredible body of work, David?
Do you know what? Regardless of what anyone has to say about the film, this soundtrack is really, really decent. Talking about a mix of originals and covers here, extremely clever use of samples. Mariah's giving you 80s post-disco funk hip-hop. And, you know, she knows her audience is global. She's thrown in a couple of signature Mariah ballads as well. It really is sort of like the 80s through the gaze of an R&B hip-hop diva, but very much trying to make it work for a noughties audience as well. It's a concept record.
So if anyone didn't know, the film is set in the 80s. Now, David, Mariah was only originally meant to do 6 songs. I guess Mariah probably just had so much material and things were churning out, and then Virgin got involved and they were like, we want to have a whole Mariah album.
And she probably wanted it as a cohesive body of work. You know, she wanted to give the fans an album. The kind of names and artists she taps up for this project. And there's even a couple of names that we're going to mention that didn't make it into the final soundtrack, but were there in the process. We've got Rick James, Ja Rule, Busta Rhymes, Fabulous, DJ Clue, Mystikal. And do you know what I found out today? An early interview, even before she began shooting for the movie, she tapped up Prince for the soundtrack.
Oh, no.
Wow.
Where is that? What is that?
Where is it? We need to know. We like.
How did that not end up on the rarities, you know?
The power that this woman has.
Lambs, let us know if there's like any more info on the Prince collab, like if there's anything else we know. But David, I'm going to tell you, turn Silk way down and bring Billy all the way up. All my life. David, what a song. This is written and co-produced by, as you were saying, Rick James, one of my favourite artists of all time. This man is the king of funk, and he worked with Mariah on this album. She said she was, you know, it was an honour to have this collaboration with him. She said he demanded a white limousine, a white suit, and maybe some white other powder. And, oh my God, imagine being working on this session.
So this is a Rick James completely written song. There's no writing credit from Mariah.
Which is very rare.
Very rare. There's a co-producer credit. So Mariah and Rick James both produced this track. It's a real highlight of the film for me when this song comes on. And I do love this bop a lot.
And I guess one of the more actual 80s vibes song. Because I wouldn't say Loverboy sounds like an 80s song.
Oh, I mean, there's a few very, very, like, fluorescent 80s songs. Didn't Mean to Turn You On, the Sherelle cover.
Oh,
now, this is Mariah Does Young Divas, Handbags on the Floor. The production is pure sugar rush, like those bright 80s dance pop synths. She actually got the original writers and producers of that Sherelle song, Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis, to come here and do the remake with her. And it stays very true musically to the cover, but with Mariah's like layering of vocals and just like the crisper production, it just popped. You know when you see something in like just 256k on YouTube and then you get the HD music video version? She took it to HD.
So David, this is an absolute favorite of mine. This should have been a single.
I think this would have been a perfect way
to sell both the album and the film. It really, you straight up know what you're getting. Oh, you could have done something with the video. You could have even just used the clips from the film and you would have instantly known what Mariah is doing musically with the soundtrack and what the film is. It just sells it to you on a plate. I think they missed a trick by not having it as a single.
If you were a lazy artist who didn't want to write original songs for the soundtrack, this would have been the lead single. If Mariah was going to Young Divas this soundtrack, I bet you this would have been single number one.
Absolutely.
What was another album track highlight for you?
You know, Let Love Lead the Way led Victoria to Brent Cross, but where did it lead Mariah and Billy Franks to?
You're going to talk about the ballad, Lead the Way.
I like, all right, I'm glad you're sitting down because I think the ballads, for me, are where the album truly shines.
Wow.
And they are some of her best ballads. And that
coming
is
from you.
Like, rare from the JB. Like, when these ballads come on in this album, I'm just, I feel them.
Couldn't sleep last night, so I was actually deliberately picking out the ballads from this album, and they are a vocal masterclass. Mariah is giving you range and so many tricks, so many techniques.
We have got some of the best Mariah Carey ballads on this body of work.
Wow. Lead the Way was actually a promo single in Spain, so they must have thought, okay, this is gonna be a showcase, this is gonna be a thing that will bring people to the album.
Well, if I'm going to the anti-tour in Japan, I also want to go to the anti-tour in Spain if she's gonna whip out Lead the Way.
we say it's a promo single in Spain, like who knows how many people in Spain actually know it, but we love that they got that special release. She puts this as track two on the album, so after you get the Giddy Lover Boy remix, you go straight to this ballad moment, like, and it's just kind of, we know that there are fans tuning in for this moment and we're going to give it to you track two.
All the ballads on this soundtrack are like best original song worthy.
Wow. Get that Oscar. Let's talk about Last Night a DJ Saved My Life, because this was very much a gem when I first discovered the Glitter soundtrack, but I was completely unaware of how many live performances Mariah actually gave of this song. Like, thank God for the Lamely. Thank God for Mariah Carey archive enthusiasts for uploading them on YouTube, because it's completely opened my eyes. She performed this song more than the fucking lead single, okay? And they were big productions as well, these live performances, right? Dancers, feathers.
Motorbikes,
telephone.
Last night a DJ saved my life. Cause I was sitting there about to death, and then just one breath they said, you gotta get up, you gotta get up, you gotta get down,
just bounce around, just shake that and bounce around.
You know you drive me crazy, baby.
MC Wilma.
It was camp as hell, and I love that this is the flagship live performance you're going to get from this album. So obviously this is a remake, this is a cover of the legendary 1980s In Deep song, but Mariah made it really like fresh and relevant for a 2000s ears. She threw in Busta Rhymes, Fabulous, and DJ Clue. You know, she worked with DJ Clue and Heartbreaker, so there's a real sense there of continuity, but also like, fucking hell, this is a big club hit for her. It could have been.
I think this song was potentially picked for Mariah as the song of in the weird in-between era of Glitter and Charm Bracelet. If I've got an appearance, this is the song I'm going to do, because everyone knows this song and it's fun. So she performed this song in Europe and in America on the United We Stand show or special and the VH1 Vogue Fashion Awards, which was in October 2002, just a few months before.
So like over a year after.
And just
soundtrack.
A few months before Charm Bracelet is on. So I feel like she's like.
This is her corporate gig song.
So, yeah, I'm just curious because it's still kind of glittering, the graphics that we see in some of the performances. But yeah, it's so kitsch. It's so fun. I think she had just like agreed with herself, like, I love this song and this is the song I'm doing.
Yeah, I get a real sense that she did enjoy this song. And I think people were saying at the time that it was tipped to be the next commercial single after Loverboy. So who knows? And there was actually a music video shot for this, which we saw glimpses of when she's performing live. They're giving us that footage. And I wouldn't say like it's a very high budget music video, but it was more kind of in situ and very sexy in a nightclub, sexy in the back of a limousine, night out vibes, you know?
I really liked it. I think it's kind of like, you know, the Rainbow album shoot. I feel like it's that after dark, like in the house with the lights off and some flashing lights, yeah. And like sexy.
After a few shots.
Having yeah. a few drinks.
The after so what's party. Really,
yeah. So what's really interesting, David, that this was technically the sixth and final single of the album in Spain. Again, Spain is getting these
Spain is
promo
the new Japan.
Only singles. Spain is the new Japan. I mean, it's more accessible for me to get to. So yes, that's fabulous. And because of its limited release and the conflict between Virgin and EMI, the single's music video was not released until late 2002/early 2003 through Mariah's online fan club.
Oh my God. Someone finally got a hold of that video file and just yeah. uploaded it. Yeah.
They were like, Alam's got it. We have to release it.
Wow. This is why we love this project in this era, right? Because there's so many gems and just like moments of wildness that we love and appreciate of the kind of early noughties.
Absolutely. In such a time of like, we still don't have this music video in like a true HD. David, this album, although when people were comparing it to previous efforts, they didn't feel it matched it. If you look at the stats alone, it did incredibly well. It debuted at number 7 on the Billboard 200, David, with first week sales of 116,000 copies, which is absolutely incredible. It topped the US soundtrack albums chart. It was number 7 on the Billboard 200, number 6 on the US top R&B/hip-hop albums charts. In the UK, David, it went to number 9 on the UK soundtrack album charts. I'd love to know what the other 8 on top of that was. It was number 1 on the UK R&B album charts, and it was number 10 here on the UK overall charts, which is absolutely fantastic.
Fantastic. Now, and it was Mariah's 9th top 10 album.
You can't take that away from her. Number 4 in Canada, number 13 on the Australian album charts, and number 1 on the Australian urban album charts. 5 on the European Hot 100.
Number 1 in Japan, yes.
11 in New Zealand. Like, really fantastic. It was platinum in Japan, gold in France, gold in Spain, gold in Switzerland, platinum in the United States.
Still platinum sales, guys. Come on.
It has gone on to sell 3 million copies worldwide. And obviously, as we all know, many years later, it went on to go number 1 on the US albums iTunes chart, # justice for glitter. Let's go to the 21st of September 2001, the moment we've all been waiting for. Mariah Carey's debut film Glitter is released in America. David, do you remember the first time you saw this film?
Well, first time I saw it was probably after I moved to the UK, I believe, when I discovered it on YouTube in its entirety. So, do you know what? I will say this about Glitter. I think the kind of hate that it gets is very blown out of proportion. I think rather than Glitter, this is a diamond in a rough. And as a Netflix movie today or like an Amazon Prime movie, it would have been very palatable. But, you know, billing this as a big blockbuster film debut for Mariah, it was a lot. The expectations, the pressure, it was a lot. And, you know, not to compare our divas, but that's kind of what everyone was thinking at the time. You look at Whitney's films, The Bodyguard, The Preacher's Wife, they were all big blockbuster success, right? And so Mariah's coming into the film world, people are going to have an opinion and want to compare. So I think it's unfortunate what happened with it, but also it's really not that bad, guys.
I think if you watch it with fresh eyes and an open mind, we all owe Mariah Carey an apology.
As you said earlier, like, it was going to be a grittier project, and I would have loved to have seen
that.
Oh,
my God.
You know, the first bit of the show where you saw young Mariah, Billy, being taken away by her mother and going into a foster home, that is dark. That is gritty, you know?
Yeah.
And the cast is incredible. Terrence Howard, Debrett, as we mentioned before, Padma Lakshmi, who today we know as a Top Chef woman. She played Silk, the pop star.
Icon.
Eric Benet's in it. Max Beasley, who dated Mel B at one stage and even had a writing credit on her first album. He's in it. So I think it's actually like a quite a good cast.
There's the infamous documentary where Mel B is like, oh, well, he's off doing Mariah Carey's film at the moment. Which I think is the same special as Mel B's mum saying, yeah.
Gay. I think you're gay. I think you like a bit of Mariah. I think you're a lamb and you're not telling us.
Are you gay? You can tell me. This is my definitive version of A Star Is Born. I just think it's so interesting of how the recent A Star Is Born with Gaga. This isn't a million worlds away from it, if I'm completely honest.
This maybe just has a lot of concepts being melded in. And I think the writing and the editing got a little bit messy at some point. That's kind of what made it more of a TV movie level, unfortunately, which is no fault of Mariah's, because as she said, and as you said earlier in the episode, it went through lots of rewrites and changes and just too many cooks, mate.
Too many cooks. And while Mariah was having creative control of her music, she was not having creative control of this film. They wanted a PG-friendly film. They weren't dare having anything that was close to edgy, close to what was truly showing what New York was like in the 80s. Yeah. You know, we don't have one person doing coke in this film. Coke fueled the 80s, you know, and especially anything with a bit of grit, and they just weren't having it. We have to give a shout out to the Mariah Report, a Mariah fan podcast who have done an incredible deep dive into Glitter. They actually get their hands on the original script of this film and they do a whole episode about that.
Please do check them out. I love that podcast.
We've got Terrence Howard in this film, David, and he is playing Lucius Lyons from Empire however many years before Lucius Lyons from Empire is even a thing. And reading and listening to Mariah's audiobook, she wanted Terrence Howard to play the love interest. She wanted him to play the Max Beasley role. But apparently the studio just was worried people would be too confused by it, where she's like, come on, that's bullshit. And she's like, no shade to Max Beasley. He did a fantastic role. He did a fantastic part in the role, but she wanted Terrence Howard to be that part, which I think would have been so fantastic of the time.
Yeah.
So Mariah's got this cat when she's a kid, the Mariah character.
Whisper.
We cut to 1983. Cat's still going.
What? Wait a minute.
She has the cat as an adult.
Really?
Which I'm like, that cat must be old.
Wow. Longevity.
Longevity. That cat's got the longevity card. Whisper's story. My life as a cat. Whisper's story.
That is the spin-off we needed.
Some notes I can't even understand. So Silk, I'm just throwing facts out here. We've got Silk. Silk is an icon.
I love the character Silk. Do you think Silk was kind of based on Sunita?
Sunita?
Tell me I'm wrong.
I think you're wrong.
All right, I'm sorry, Sunita. I don't think it was fair to say that, yeah, Silk was based on you.
Max Beasley said, like, Mariah showed some really true acting chops that they've left on the cutting room floor. Mariah said if they'd done a different edit, there are moments that they've left out the film. And the actress that played Silk said there's a real more scenes with backstory to Silk that really fleshes her character out.
Wow. I mean, we need a super director's cut of this.
We need the Mariah Carey cut of this film. Do you think Max Beasley's sexy in this film?
I do think Max Beasley's sexy, and I think he could turn me gay.
Yeah. Do you know, because I was watching this and I was like, I don't find him sexy, but then I was watching it and I was like, I do find him sexy. I couldn't put my finger on it, but I was just like,
oh, it's sexy.
Max Beasley, you are a bit sexy in this film, because he's got the leather trousers on and the black vest. And I'm just like, oh my God.
I don't normally go for a bad boy.
A Max Beasley type.
But yeah, a Max Beasley version of a bad boy, I could.
I think it's a fine film. I think it's a good film. I will say that on record. I think people weren't ready for it and they just need to accept it and get over it. But I think it's heartbreaking because you just know this was such a personal project to Mariah and she put so much into it. Obviously, what we've not spoken about is that the day that the soundtrack was released was September the 11th. It was a day that changed history. People weren't leaving their houses. Let alone,
and people weren't ready for like a fun pop moment. It's just, it wasn't, no one was in a headspace for that.
I think they should have aired this on TV in the States. I think the studio should have accepted their loss and they should have billed it as a TV event. We're going to spend 2 hours with America.
I still think anything in September is too soon for this. Like, maybe a couple of months later.
Do you not think, here's 2 hours of Mariah bringing you a bit of joy and escapism?
I just don't think the public would have been ready for it. You know what it's like now in our pandemic situation. You know what the news cycle's like on TV. Like, when COVID first broke out, all regular programming was just shifted, dominated by the conversation. I just don't think there was, as from a programming perspective, you couldn't put something like this on. Maybe if it was like a cartoon or something, then it would have made sense to keep the kids calm. But a film like this, I just think September, October, it was not a good space for this.
Mariah still had to show up to do a premiere and stuff, you know, on the 20, like in the 20 whatever of September.
Yeah.
I just think her team could have thought, like, what could we do as a classy move here?
It's difficult, but I just don't think there's a right or wrong way to handle this situation. It was literally shit. And maybe soldiering on was the best thing she could do. Put on a brave face, walk down the red carpet, do the interviews, and try to give people a little bit of escapism if they wanted it.
So what's interesting, Davo, is that while Mariah had gotten away from Sony, music-wise, this film was made by Columbia, which is owned by Sony. They still had their claws in one way or another.
It is what it is, guys. Hopefully when we're laying all these cards and pieces out, you know, we've got Whisper the Cat in one corner and then all these circumstances, that you start to understand that, look, something about this feels a little bit cursed and doomed. But in hindsight, look, we got to take what we can of it, embrace it, and look at the positives. And give us a UK version starring DVO or Louise or Martine, yeah.
Or all of them. But get our money. We'll come and see it several nights in a row. But let us know who you think should star in the UK version of Glitter, A Star Is Born, the UK tour. So this film did have a $22 million budget, which is a fair budget for a film. It made $2.5 million in its first week on the US box office, which I actually think, considering the time, it made a lot more money than anyone should expect. Overall, it made $5.3 million worldwide, but I'm sure when you now accumulate DVD, video, rental, TV sales, everything over the year, I'm sure it has made its money back and then some.
It's a collectibles item, that DVD. Whisper story.
Whisper story. My name is Whisper and I'm a cat, right? And what I've got, right, is my owner is a singer and she's like trying to become a singer with this guy who's sexy, played by Max Beasley. Oh, I think he's gorgeous. But then Eric Benet comes along and I'm like, God, he's really gorgeous.
Is Kimberly Walsh voicing Whisper the Cat in the UK version?
Yeah. Right. and Whisper, played by Kimberly from Horrid Henry the Movie. So while this was released, you know, everywhere, what I love is that it was released in early January 2002 in South Africa. But what they did is they did a premiere party on New Year's Eve there that they promoted with flyers through the gay clubs in South Africa. Like, that is a way to hit your target audience. New Year's Eve party, we can watch the new Mariah film, we've got DJs here.
I mean, come on.
Let's have some fun. Last night a DJ saved my life.
Yes, that's it. Drag queens, feather boas, champagne, let's have a glitter moment, chin chin to the new year, all that glitters.
All that glitters, honey. So we've had the film, as Mariah would say, it was a moment. We move on. October 2001, David. Our Mariah has a guest spot on Ally McBeal, which is one of the biggest TV shows of the time.
This is kind of the comedic Mariah roles that really resonates, because people already, it's not a stretch of the imagination, is it? And it's not particularly hard for her to do. So it's just a bit of fun. And I think her doing comedy roles in these cameos really, like, is much needed.
And at the end of the episode, she gets to sing Lead the Way.
Oh, get that promo. Yes. We do see some creative ways of getting the music off the glitter soundtrack to people. As you mentioned, Lead the Way had a moment in Ally McBeal. Reflections, Care Enough, which is one of the darkest songs on the soundtrack and movie, was a Japan-only single in September 2001. This was actually nothing to do with Virgin Records. It's a contractually obligated release from Sony Music's part, Mariah's former label. So they decided to do the standalone single. There it was in Japan, having a moment. Very haunting lyrics that allude to abortion in this song. You could have had the decency to give me up before you gave me life. Haunting. Now, Mariah actually performed this song at the special Home for the Holidays with Mariah Carey in November 2001. Now, this was a kind of children's charity initiative. It featured performances by Destiny's Child. We had Charlotte Church on it, Josh Groban, Your Girl Mandy Moore, Enrique Iglesias. It was kind of a special that centered around inspirational stories about adoption and raising awareness of this issue. So there is a children's element involved in it. Mariah did have the sense to change it. When she introduced the track, she didn't talk about glitter or Billy Frank. She said, "This was a song I wrote about a foster child." And then she goes into singing Reflections and she changed the lyrics to "Give me up the day you had me." And I do think that vocal performance of Reflections is stunning. Like, once you get the backing vocals in, adding the extra air of gospel music, it's spine tingling.
This is another incredible Mariah Carey ballad. And I think it's a real shame and a disservice on the world that we've been robbed of this and the other ballads on Glitter just being up there with the rest of the Mariah ballads from her career. And luckily, the song did sort of get a bit more of life. It was included in Mariah's 2009 compilation album, The Ballads.
We love to see it. So shall we go to December 2001, JB, with the UK / international single from Glitter? We get a double A-side experience of Never Too Far and Don't Stop Funkin' for Jamaica. Let's start with Never Too Far, because I know you're loving the ballads.
This is just, like, this is classic Mariah. If you're someone that's here that loves the gowns and the ballads and the dresses and the songs, like, this is just up there, you know?
Never too far away. I won't let time erase. Warm it up yesterday.
Now, the label was actually pressuring Mariah to do a music video for this. This was at the height of her exhaustion while the soundtrack and the film was coming out, and she just needed a good night's sleep. So they really went in a little too hard with that request. You know, like the thing where we always say, like, read the room? They were not fucking reading the room.
And the film has this beautiful, stunning sequence of her performing the song, which way they were, like, quote unquote forced to use in the end. But it's like,
there's yeah, you're saying, David, that.
Read the room and use the clip. You've got this gorgeous clip.
Her
use
hair was swept to her side. She was looking stunning. It was perfectly fine. We didn't need to add on to her workload when you already have the footage.
What do you think they would have had the concept of the video being?
God knows. I mean, they could have thrown a lot of money at it, had a long a 3-day shoot, but still.
But still, I bet it would have just been her stood there singing, you know.
Guys, pick your battles, which they did not fucking do. Us as individuals, we're just learning in this day and age, especially after the year and a half we've been through, we're getting better at saying no, and we're getting better at drawing boundaries and, like, standing up for our self-care. And I don't think Mariah was particularly good at saying no and like putting herself first in this time. So we can all take lessons from the book of Glitter, guys. She really gives you all the tricks of the book, and she sounds phenomenal doing Never Too Far. It was never officially released in the US, although some radio stations kind of organically picked it up and started playing it after 9/11 because it's a lovely ballad and it resonates. You know, radio programming after a traumatic period in history like that kind of reverts to something softer usually. So I can see why Never Too Far started to gain momentum there. The song did peak at number 5 on the Bubbling Under Hot 100 on the Billboard's chart. Never cracked the actual Hot 100. It also reached number 17 on the US Adult Contemporary chart. So that is Never Too Far on its own.
So let's talk about the other side of this double A side. Oh,
yes!
Don't Stop, Funkin' for Jamaica.
JB, I want to issue a formal apology to this song because I very much, sadly, misunderstood this single. We did get it in Australia, this double A side, and this music video did get one or two plays in my memory on Video Hits. I remember loving the video, but the song, I was just like, nope, Mariah's lost me now. What a big fucking mistake. I should have showed up for her. This song was built around the really incredible sample of the 1980s song Funkin' for Jamaica by Tom Brown. Mariah actually worked with DJ Clue and Mystikal on this. So DJ Clue, who did Heartbreaker and Lover Boy. So, you know, this is a solid hip-hop R&B diva moment. I was in the office a couple of years ago and one of the lads had Six Music on while we were working. And they played Funkin' for Jamaica, and I started like hyperventilating, thinking, oh my God, Six Music is playing a Mariah Glitter track. So I like literally like couldn't breathe for the first 30 seconds. And then I was like, where's Mariah? I'm not hearing the vocals. And then I realized, I was like, right, okay, there's a chance she might have sampled this.
This music video is incredible. It's expensive.
Yeah.
And Mariah Carey, David, has created the greatest vocal girl band in this video. It is so cool. We have several different Mariahs.
A trio of Mariahs.
All, you know, in unison, the Mariah in the middle, like, hits this note, and then the other two react to it.
Oh, my God, it's magical. So this very iconic scene where they got the three Mariahs singing together, it was not a green screen moment. It's actually split screen, but it's done very cleverly where they layer it. They layer the backgrounds. So clever. So shout out to director Sana Hamri, who also directed Mariah's Crybaby video from the last album, but also Kelly Rowland's Stole.
So this incredible double A side peaked at 32 here in the UK, 18 on the UK dance, 6 on the UK R&B. Right. 36 in Australia, 4 and 1 in Belgium, respectively, 22 in Italy, 67 in the Netherlands, 16 in Spain. Maybe those promo singles were doing some good use.
Shall we go December 2001, the final release on Virgin Records from Mariah? We've got Never Too Far, your fave. This song is really like forging ahead and having a moment. It's not just the version we saw on the soundtrack. It's a new version that's a mashup with Hero, Mariah's classic hit. This medley of Never Too Far and Hero became really popular after 9/11. It was a thing that Mariah got requested to perform at fundraisers and TV specials and stuff. So
Functions.
It just made sense because people know Hero and she still wanted to let people know about Never Too Far.
Yeah, so it was a savvy move, but also like savvy with a heart, you know?
Yeah, very much a heart, because this single was a US only release and the proceeds were donated to the New York City Police Heroes Fund, which was set up to help families of police officers killed during the 9/11 terror attacks. JB, we must also say with this rare single, there is a special gem in there. The B-side is an unreleased ballad from the Rainbow album Sessions called There For Me, which was produced by David Foster and co-written by Mariah with Diane Warren. I mean, if you were loving Mimi's ballads, you were getting a treat with this.
Treat for me, May, and everyone else involved. I mean, that is a legendary tier creatives there.
Yeah, she must think, do you know what? Let's just give them an extra gorgeous ballad.
The people need a gift at this time.
Mariah actually wrote this song about her fans and saying, you know, the kind of strength that they gave her. So it felt very much a good opportunity to put it in here. And this charity single made number 81 on the Billboard Hot 100 Singles Chart, number 3 on Billboard 100 Singles Sales Chart, selling a total of 80,000 copies. So nice work.
So in the rest of the year, David, she made some further appearances. In November 2001, she performed in the UK at the Top of the Pops Awards, David. And wow. Billy Franks has got me here. She did this Never Too Far. She did the Never Too Far and Hero medley with Westlife. Now, David, normally I would say this is straight rights, but it was fantastic and it felt really heartfelt and it felt really powerful. That's the one and only time JB is ever going to sort of be positive of Westlife on this podcast. December 2001, David, Mariah, I'm guessing it's the same trip, Mariah makes this legendary appearance on SMTV, David. So on SMTV, they had this long-running sketch, this sketch series, Chums, which was a parody of Friends. So it's Aunt Dec Cat. And Dec and Cat are getting married in the last ever episode of Chums. Mariah is here to play Kat's bridesmaid.
It is absolutely wild. I've never seen this in my entire life. I can't believe you found this. It's hilarious. And you just would never imagine the biggest selling female artist of all time doing a sketch with Anton Deck and Kat Dealey.
I'm looking forward to having you.
Kids telly, remember?
How's my wife?
There's another British tradition where the maid of honour gets off with the best man. I hope you're going to adhere to our merry old wedding customs.
Well, actually, Aunt, I have been studying up on British wedding traditions and,
Mariah, the fight happened at the reception.
Oh, sorry. Close.
And who else was in it? There were some famous faces, right?
Liberty X, Hearsay, DVO, Denise Van Outen, doing jokes like, where you think she's pregnant and she goes, oh, I just had a bad curry last night. Can I use your loo? Like, Mariah Carey's in the same sketch as that. Samantha Mumba.
Mariah has a few lines. She, you know, has a comedic moment, but it's actually just wild.
She's a leading lady.
That's a pinch me moment if you were any of the other pop stars.
That's a pinch me moment for Mariah to be in the same room as TSA and Liberty X at the same time. Also, Queen Carol Vorderhun is in the sketch. Not only does Mariah appear, but she took it very seriously. She went out and got her own bridesmaid's dress for this sketch and brought it with her.
She wasn't having whatever cheap shit. Like, I don't need no cheap...
SMTV's department's got
that. I don't need your cheap clothes or cheap makeup, honey.
So then before Kat and Mariah come in on the live sketch, it's all happening. They're on, like, side of set waiting to go in. It's all live. Mariah is fluffing Kat's dress. And Kat's like, what are you doing? And Mariah's like, it's your wedding day. You've got to look beautiful. So she's taking it very seriously, a method actress. That's the kind of level she brought to Precious.
We love this diva. And what a clip. I'm so happy you unearthed that, JB, because everyone needs to see it.
So then to round off the year, David, December 2001, Mariah visits and performs for the troops. And she does a concert for them. And this is the first time she's ever performing Loverboy live.
Isn't it crazy? And it's a private gig. So obviously it's a very fitting occasion for the troops in Kosovo. But I would be like living it. I was like a little gay soldier out in Kosovo. I'm like, oh, okay. Like, how am I shake it daddy? Take me for a ride.
I don't know how I know the words to this one. Oh, no. Oh, yeah, my girlfriend at home's got it. Yeah.
My girlfriend sent it to me, mate, because I'm her lover boy.
Yeah. She said, I'm her sugar daddy. Yeah. You know, like, the hats off to Mariah is, like, she was in a really shit situation, but she was so dignified during this, because there's even clips of everything, how this is going on, and people are trying to ask her, like, nosy reporters are trying to ask her about her situation, and she's just like, my situation is nothing compared to what's going on in the world right now. If I can offer some light and some entertainment, you know, that's fantastic.
She's doing what she does best, entertain and bring her music as a form of healing for people. So she switched gears real quick, read the room, and as always, just kept it moving. That's what Mariah did. And speaking of keeping it moving, do you know what? It may not have worked out with Virgin Records with this Big Five album deal. They kind of bought her out and just said, see you later, whatever. Mariah flew to Capri, spent 5 months there in Italy writing the next album, and she founded her own label after this fiasco, Monarch Entertainment, and then she signed a new 3-album deal with Island Records, valued at over $23 million. And then
fantastic.
The reemergence of Mimi. Literally, it wasn't a long break. She just kept it moving, came back, and then was like, let's go.
Let's go for it. Straight after filming Glitter, Mariah filmed and starred in Wise Girls, which premiered at Sundance in 2002, and she received very positive reviews for her performance in that role.
Yeah, so that was a small independent film, and the character she played was, she called herself a mafia girl, and, you know, she had this Staten Island accent, which she kept bringing up in press interviews during Glitter.
Oh, God. I'm going to get into my Wise Girls voice, and I won't be able to lose it.
You somehow sound very EastEnders at the same time as Staten Island, which I love.
You say this every time I try and do my voices. It's going to give me a complex.
It's a gift.
And look, guys, we have to say, just while we're talking about the film side of things, Mariah did have the last laugh, because a few years later, she starred in Precious. She had the incredible role in Precious, which really turned everything around for her. And she had such critical acclaim, and people couldn't believe it and just let their jaws be on the floor, you know?
2019's hashtag justice for Glitter. That was a redemption moment. The fans, the Lamely, took it to number one on iTunes in America.
Deserved.
And as a result, really gave Mariah that celebratory closure and acceptance for it. She decided to do a Glitter medley at her Caution World Tour, which we saw at Royal Albert Hall. That was a magical experience for us that we mentioned earlier in the episode. That medley itself was Never Too Far, your fave. Last Night DJ Saved My Life. Love a Boy, Didn't Mean to Turn You On.
Oh.
So we got four songs and it was fabulous. It was
great,
sparkly.
Choices.
She was giving a real roller disco moment and it just looked like she was having fun with it, which is
exactly
deserved.
And I'm just so happy that that moment happened that just gave her the confidence and the whole subject matter. It gave it positivity to feel like she can talk about it again. It gives it a positive light.
It removed the stigma and the shame,
Absolutely. And that she's like, oh, I can perform those songs on tour now. And it's like, yes, bitch. Yes, you can. Because you're a young diva. Well, look, hopefully you've enjoyed what we've done and maybe this can be the start of further episodes. It's the intention of being a one-off, but we'd love to do more. We've got Lamely UK number one fan here and me, Lamely in training. So, yeah, look, you have been listening to Right Back At You. This has been Glitterlicious. You can follow us on all social platforms at Right Back Pod. You can email us if you want, rightbackpod@gmail.com. You can follow me at Dr_JoelB. And you can follow him at...
@LoveLimmy.
Until next time, bye.
Bye.
See you at the Billy Franks Bar in Romford, everyone.
Come on, sugar daddy, take me for a ride.